And welcome to another episode of the Quotes and Mirrors podcast. I am Terrell James.
And I am Uncommentary. Hello, how are you all today?
Yo, last week when we recorded, you said good morning.
I know.
And the show airs at night.
Right. And if you hadn't brought that up, we wouldn't have to talk about it. That is precisely why I did not say good morning this morning. Thank you very much.
Well, you need to talk to my mama. Your aunt, who you also see as a mother to you, because she's the one that pointed it out to me.
Well, first of all, maybe that good morning was for people in Japan. Because when it airs for us at night, it is about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning for them. So there.
Why do you know that?
Because I lived in Korea for a year.
Touche. Got you. All right. All right. So this week's quote is by a man by the name of Cesar A. Cruz, and it is, art should comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. When I first came across this quote, I got super excited. I was like, I absolutely love this because as an artist, as a creator, I've always loved going against the grain and doing things that may be a little uncomfortable to people. But I understand the importance of doing that. I understand the importance of shock treatment. I understand the importance of even shock jocks. You know, I understand that they go a little too far, but sometimes it's about making sure that everything ain't comfortable for everybody.
Making sure.
Now, yeah.
Okay.
Because you don't, sometimes being comfortable leads to complacency.
Okay. I see that.
So you got to move away from that place. So now I'll say this. I look at this in a couple different ways. This particular quote, I look at this in a couple different ways. And actually, I broke it down into two parts. So the first, I'll tell you what, let's talk about the first part first, and then we'll move on to the second part. But art should comfort the disturbed. So art, the thing is, like, creators, innovators. Oftentimes, you run into creators. And when I say creators, I mean writers, artists, musicians, actors, anything that is considered art, anything that you do where you express yourself. That's what I consider art. So oftentimes people create from a place of pain. That's why you hear the term genius and crazy, you know, often, you know, because that genius is able to take that crazy part of their life and make it look glamorous.
Understood. I agree that there's got to be a little bit of a touch in the sanity, because logic will create a boundary that you won't go beyond if that is all you're made up of.
Exactly. I said, that makes perfect sense. Put it that way. Yeah, absolutely. So, and when you create from that place of pain, you're creating from a place of discomfort. But when you create from that pain of discomfort, the person, it resonates with the person who could be dealing with something that is similar to what it is that you're dealing with. So it's comforting. It's very comforting to that person to know there's somebody else out here who's dealing with what I'm dealing with. Because this person has made it to this level, it seems as if there's a certain level of success. So now I see you and I hear that you were going through certain things, but you have still been able to become successful in the midst of the things that you have gone through. That gives me hope. That gives me comfort in knowing that maybe I can get through this too.
Okay. So that's addressing the art should comfort the disturbed.
Right. Yep.
Okay. So, interesting. I'm just thinking about how this is embodied in one individual, right? So if you're making the art and you're giving the comfort, to the individual, let them know they're not the only one dealing with the situation. But at the same time, art should disturb the comfortable. So the duality effect, is also speaking about it being simultaneous, maybe just not within the same person. You understand what I'm asking?
Yeah, because it definitely can. The same song could make somebody, you know what, I tell you what, put it this way, let's look at it in terms of of movies. So let's say like Minister Society, Juice, Boys in the Hood, things like that. It resonates with people, with those of us who have either grew up in the streets, had some time in the streets, or knew somebody, or was connected to somebody that was in the streets. It resonates differently with that person than it does with somebody who has had absolutely no connection at all to the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So we're able to look at Minister Society and Boys in the Hood and say these are classics to us.
Right.
They mean like the world to us. Those are our gems. To somebody who has never experienced that, it's a little uncomfortable.
Right.
You know, but sometimes I think that in addition to highlighting the things that were going on in these neighborhoods, not only highlighting it, but wanting to, there was an underlying message in these movies to the people who are uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
They may look at these movies and say, it's just violence.
Mm-hmm.
To the other people, to the people that are comfortable with it, to the people that it resonates with, it's, I understand that there's violence, but the message in this movie is that the violence needs to stop.
Okay.
The other side thinks that they're glorifying the violence.
Right.
Right. But to the people it resonates with, they understand there's no glorification. This is a highlighter. It's a highlighter going over, you know, these things. So first, we're going to acknowledge the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do we do to fix it?
Okay, I get that. No, I got a question in reference to Cesar A. Cruz. I'm just going to look him up real quick. Who was he? Was he an artist in the way of like paint or literature?
I'm not sure, because when I started looking up Cesar A. Cruz, I was spelling his name wrong, and it took me to another Cesar A. Cruz, and I got all information on this guy. And this other guy, he seems to be a great guy. He was like an advocate for gang violence and stuff like that. Well, is against gang violence, but and I think he was starting all these other movements or whatever. But then I was like, this guy's name spelled the same way, so I don't think this is the same person. So
I think it is, though.
It is.
Yeah, I'm just looking it up real quick, and I think it is. He's an advocate against gang violence. He's a dean at Harvard. All right.
Right.
Nice, nicely done, sir. Nicely done. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I was looking at this, I guess, on a very surface perspective, as far as just art, and then I didn't think about, like you were saying, just kind of anything. Just the definition of art, right? Because I guess, truth be told, it is pretty much any expression, regardless of what lane it is, whether it's going to be music, movies, comedy, fashion, actual art, as in painting, something like that. But I think it's an interesting kind of situation, like when it says that it should comfort the disturbed. I guess as far as the feeling that you're, you know, it's again a situation of duality. So you're trying to give one person some peace, at the same time, maybe inspire another person. And you could do it within the same person. You know what I mean? Because it could be necessary that they come into a place of peace or of comfort before they can be inspired. You know what I mean? Right. Because otherwise, maybe they can't actually hear it, or it won't actually resonate because they're not open to it, because the block is whatever is actually disturbing them. You know what I mean? So it definitely made me think about, like, when you see people, they stare at paintings and they're trying to interpret these paintings. And I never really understood exactly. I have no idea of art history or anything that comes from these paintings, or, you know, what impressionism is or expressionism, or I'm not even going to get to saying a bunch of stupid terms that don't match, right? But I always did, always kind of wanted to be able to stand in front of a painting and like think about, like, deeper, what does it make me feel?
Right.
You know what I mean? Most of the time, I'm looking at it, I'm just like, all right, that's kind of cool. But I don't think about beyond that. And when you put this quote up, I'm like, yo, all right, because I got a painting in my room of it's a husband and wife. They're in a rock. They're basically look like they're chiseling each other from this rock. I don't know if you ever saw this painting, but they're in a rock. Their wedding rings are at the basis of this rock, as if the marriage is the foundation. And both of them are holding a hammer and chisel. He's got the hammer and chisel working on her. She's got the hammer and chisel working on him. Mm-hmm. And this painting, you know, as far as the Disturbed, it definitely gave me some comfort in that, okay, this is what marriage is supposed to be. We're supposed to be fully aware and fully transparent of the fact that I need work done, and that work, you know, that I need to be worked on, and that she needs to be worked on, and that we need to be doing it together. You know what I mean? Right. At the same time, building each other up. And it does both things. Like I said, I'm comforted because I'm like, man, you know, in the beginning of the marriage, you know, well, I don't know, because your marriage is kind of different. So, seem like maybe I ain't go through the same things, but for us, it was, in the beginning, it was crazy rocky, and I was mad disturbed, but that painting gave me that comfort.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then also, as we continue to grow, I keep it in my room so that I can look up at it, and it kind of reminds me that the work is not done. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But like I said, I kind of looked at it from a very surface kind of level at first. And now, you know, I really dig it. But also, I guess as far as art is concerned, I don't know. I still feel like I got to explore more, you know, beyond just a painting, just actual art. You know what right. I mean?
But I think that you can look at other art in the same fashion that you look at a painting. And actually, even with that painting, I think that the problem with people, with a lot of people, when they don't understand art, and I mean, whatever it is, not just with paintings, but just across the board, I think part of the reason is they start to dissect it, they start to look at one part, or they may look at another part, when art is meant to be viewed in totality. You can't listen to a song and hear the third verse and understand the song. If the song is telling a story, you can't listen to the third verse and understand the story if you haven't heard the first and second. So going back to that painting that you said that you were talking about, that you have in your room, if you look at one part, if you were to focus on just the part of the man chiseling, you know, with the, you know, and he's, what did you say? He was chiseling his wife. He's like,
yeah. So they both have a hammer and chisel, you know, working on each other.
Okay, so if you only look at the man, then what it looks like is that only the man is putting in the work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's oftentimes what people do. That's where the discomfort comes in sometimes, because I'm only looking at this one part of this painting, one part of the art. So what that means is all you see is this man trying to make this woman better. And now we have these feelings and thoughts and stuff like that. They just start to come in. Okay, so why did this person make this piece of art? Well, only this man is making this woman better. What is it about her that's lacking? Why does it make it seem as if he's so much better? But if you pull back and you look at this picture in totality, you see that she's doing the same for him. You see that the wedding ring is the basis, is the foundation for their marriage, and, you know, just for their foundation. That the wedding ring is the foundation, the marriage is the foundation, and together they are creating something that is amazing. But that's the problem: people don't look at art in totality. And the comfort comes in when you look at it in totality, going back to the movies. If you only highlight and look at the violence that occurred in those movies, then you miss the point. And then you also miss the comfort. Yeah, it sucked. It sucks that Kane died at the end of Menace to Society. It sucks that...
Spoiler.
What'd you say?
Spoiler.
Right, spoiler alert, yeah.
But if you ain't seen Menace to Society by now...
Right, exactly. You know, and it sucks. It sucks that Ricky died in Boys in the Hood. But if that's all you see is that scene where Ricky is getting shot,
right,
you miss the part where Trey is upset and he gets the gun and he's about to ride out with Doughboy. And on their way to go find his killers, he decides, yo, I need to get out the car. Yo, pull over, let me out. And he makes that decision for his life. You know, you miss the part where Doughboy continues to be in the game, but then at the very end, when they talk about how Doughboy ends up getting killed as well.
Yeah.
Like, you miss those things that there are. That movie is not about violence. That movie is about change. Same thing with Menace to Society. But it gives, and when you look at it in terms of it being about change, it's comforting. It is comforting because you have a man that wrote this movie and you have a bunch of actors that decided to act in this movie and producers and whomever, whatever. So now what it looks like is there's this whole village of people who are trying to inspire change. And that's comfortable.
Right, right. Definitely comforting. Now, I got a question. I'm curious because it says art should comfort the disturbed. So this... is this saying that essentially until you've done this, until you either, you know, you've comforted disturbed or you disturbed the comfortable, that at that point or until that point, you haven't actually created art?
No, no, that's not saying that at all. The moment that you decide to create, you've created art.
Okay.
It's going to resonate with somebody. Once at some level, even if it just resonates with you, just simply because you created something, you became a creator, you became an artist, and you can't be an artist without creating art.
Well, I guess that's fairly obvious, right? but I'm just like, and I guess this is, you know, it's going to be a matter of opinion. You know, because everybody has one, right? So, I don't know. I guess when I'm listening to, like, for instance, music that doesn't appeal to me, like now it makes me think. I guess I don't want to discount that it's not being art. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it definitely elevates my respect for the effort and for a finished product, regardless of whether or not it's something that appeals, you know, to me, because I'm real good at discounting what don't appeal to me. You know what I mean? So it definitely and it makes me think now, like when you were just talking about with the movie, I'm like, man, you know what, there's probably a bunch of stuff that I'm missing out on because I'm not inclined to listen to country music, or maybe because like actual art. Like, I've never been to an art gallery, not on purpose. You know what I mean? If I have ever been in an art gallery, somebody's going to have to tell me when that happened because I'm not aware. You know what I mean? Because somebody's going to have to be like, yo, you remember when we was in the art gallery? Oh, okay. Cool. Because you say so, you know what I mean? But it makes me think, like, man, now I'm going to, like, you know, we right here in DC, right here. Like when I go down to Smithsonian, it makes me want to go and look at things.
The art gallery is different. Down there.
Yeah, I know. And actually, you know what? I think I have been to that, but it was such a, you know, in reference to that space, I'm fairly elementary as far as the interpretation of art. It's gonna be all jokes. You know what I mean?
But it's, you know what? But that's fine. Because that's how it resonates with you. See, the thing is, what I've learned about art, well, paintings, the artist in so many instances intends on it to be a certain way, right? And this actually, this is the same with music and other things too, but it doesn't always resonate with everybody the same way. So the artist may have designed something. I'll tell you what, let's take the painting that you have. That artist may have created that out of a place of pain. He could have been a broken, or she could have been a broken person and felt, I need to be fixed. And I happen to be in a relationship with somebody, or I happen to meet somebody who needed to be fixed. So what we're doing is we're fixing each other. And in fixing each other, it led to us being able to be married. To you, it may not mean that. To you, it may mean, well, we got married. We have, this is our foundation. And what we're doing, the chiseling that we're doing, is not necessarily because anybody needed to be fixed. It's just in making sure that we never break.
Okay.
Art is just open to interpretation. It's always open to whoever the person is that's looking at it or listening to it or feeling it. It's just how you receive it.
Yeah, you know that conflicts with my whole black and white perspective, right? Because yeah, I mean, because you know, now I'm just like, and even calling it gray, right, is to some degree disturbing. Because when I say, when he says, you know what I mean, when you call it gray, it immediately I think fog. You know what I mean? And so if I'm thinking fog, then now I'm thinking that, you know, my vision is impaired. You know what I mean? And so I just hate, you know, just going into it. But
You also are an extremist.
Yeah, I am that as well. So, and it's not a good thing. You know,
because you just skipped over everything else in the world that's gray and just went straight to fog.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, right. But that obviously was, you know, in order to enable my point, right? But but I'm just saying, you know, with it being art being open to interpretation, I'm just like, it makes me cringe because I just feel like, you know, there was a purpose for it. I mean, you can interpret it in the artist, regardless of what kind of art it is, they can't help how you interpret it, right? They know what their intentions were, but they can't help you how you interpret it. You know, and some of them just don't give a damn, Dave Chappelle. So, you know.
That's why I love Dave.
Yo, you know what I mean? But it's dope because whether or not it resonates, you really cannot get away from respecting the cat from being unapologetically who he is. You know what I mean? And see, and unapologetically, oftentimes people will take that to mean it doesn't matter to the person whether or not it offends you. But that's not what's up. What he's saying is, I'm not going to apologize for being me. My goal is not to offend you. If it happens, okay, but that wasn't my intent. You know what I mean? But I'm just, anyway, just the open to interpretation situation, it just kind of, like I say, it conflicts with my black and white, you know, kind of state of being, because I want something to be a hard yes or a hard no, because it's just more easily, you know, it's more easily understood like that. Right. You know what I mean? I don't want to do all of the work. So when we look at the painting, and but I will say this, since you like what you were just talking about, I full on could see both perspectives as far as that painting is concerned. You know what I mean? And the way that I actually view the painting has grown since we first got it. You know what I mean? Because I definitely saw marriage as being the foundation, but then I saw, you know, as they start to work on one another, I saw, okay, it's cool. It's a mutual effort, but I was looking at the work that was being done. But when I look at it now, the two of them like that. You got to really see, the painting, because they're already like their physiques. They're already ripped, both of them, ripped. Mm-hmm. And so even when you get to what would be your idea of perfection, work is still ongoing. You know what I mean? It's still necessary, you know. So it doesn't allow me to just be. It's something like that, the depth of that art. As far as the comfort, there's different levels of comfort, as well as it disturbing me on different levels, which is what it causes me to elevate, to go both higher and deeper. You know what I mean? As far as the meaning of it. And, you know, as I continue to talk about it, I would have to say that, yeah, this is great. Like before this, I wondered, like, what was the definition of art before he said this? You know what I mean? Like, what did people believe it to be before it said that? And I can't even think of how to reword this, like, or what this was, you know, what this came from. But it's absolutely perfect. And it's very important, mm-hmm. you know, for it to disturb or disrupt. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So I dig it.
Yeah. And it's you know what? I think that it's also a comfort in, like, even going back to that painting, there's comfort in knowing that there's more work that needs to be done, because mm-hmm. When you reach a level of perfection, or you reach a level of a master or something, there's nothing else left to learn. There's no more room left to grow. And there's comfort in knowing that I can still grow, that I can mm-hmm. still improve, I can still get better. Even if I reach a level where I feel like I'm at a great place in my life. Mm-hmm. You mean to tell me that tomorrow I can still be better? Mm-hmm. You know, and there's comfort in that. And that's something you can definitely receive from art, man. I think, you know, music especially, for me anyway, because I'm a musician, well, I'm an actor as well, but and a writer, but specifically music has spoken to my soul, probably mm-hmm. more so than any other form of art. It has just spoken to my soul, and it has been probably the most comforting thing mm-hmm. for me, at, you know, at times of complete chaos. Mm-hmm. And it was fun. For instance, Tupac's Me Against the World album, when that album came out back in 94, mm-hmm. I was at a tough time in my life. And there were things that he was saying on that album, again, things being open to interpretation, to the way the things resonate with the person. Tupac mm-hmm. was talking about certain things while there was not a direct connection with the things he was talking about and with what I was going through, but there was a connection still. I was able to connect. I was able to hear certain things. So he may be talking about pain dealing with something in the streets, and I wasn't in the streets. Mm-hmm. I was, what, like 14, something like that. So, or 13, 14, something like that. So, you know, he's talking about being in the streets and things that happen on a street level and it being painful. Mm-hmm. I was dealing with my own set of problems. I may not have been connected with the streets. I was connected through the pain.
Okay, I get that.
And in knowing that he was able to successfully put out a classic album, to me, that is the greatest album of all time for me. Greatest hip-hop album of all time for me.
Really? Okay.
But it's because of the way it resonated with me. It came at a time that I needed it. Mm-hmm. It came at a time that I needed to be comforted. And no other album has ever comforted me the way that album has comforted me, to the point that as much as I love the music, mm-hmm. the only time I will even pull that album out again is when I need comfort.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't listen to it just to enjoy the music. Mm-hmm. And I could, because the music is phenomenal. But that's just what it does for me. It's so comforting. It's so comforting that that's the only time I pull it out.
Well, I can't, you know, interesting you bring that up, because I can't relate, like, anymore. Music used to be absolutely everything to me, as far as like hearing a song and it taking me to a certain place. Mm-hmm. Like I used to live, you know, when it was just me and I had my apartment, I would turn the music up and lay in the middle of the floor, and I would listen to music. I forget the guy's name now. Mario Winans. Uh-huh. His, I think he only had one album that he put out, but that joint, the tracks on there, it would like, I felt like I would levitate because I would lay down and just fall so deep into that music. But
I remember that. I think that was one of the albums of yours that I borrowed and never gave back.
Is that what happened to it? That is, I believe I am both disturbed and uncomfortable right now, and there's no art at all. But man, but dude, that's it took me. You know what I mean? But and actually, in reference to Tupac, when I first got out of the military, and me and Trey's mother broke up, all I listened to was Machiavelli, right? And I wasn't necessarily, I'll be honest, I wasn't really angry, but I just
until Bomb First came on.
Well, the thing was,
Hail Mary came on.
But it was the album, to me, the album was very aggressive. And I'm not a very aggressive like person. I don't think anyway. So that allowed me to kind of explore that part of me. You know what I'm saying? But now it's, I don't know, things just don't resonate the same way right now, the way that they used to. But now, I guess the art that means the most to me, the art that seems to be the most, is just within myself. You know what I mean? How I'm affected by what I'm doing. You know what I mean? But I don't know that necessarily would be, you know, I can't call it art. But I don't know. I like this because it definitely makes me view things, listen to things differently. Because it is, you know, everything, like you said, just whatever the expression, it is art. But now I'm kind of like listening, like, how does this comfort me? Or is it disturbing to me? And disturbed, by the way, disturbed is, I think, can have a negative connotation. But disturb simply means to disrupt, to cause change to a natural routine of things. And so that's why I say it could full on inspire. You know what I mean? Definitely inspire thought, definitely inspire resolution. It could just inspire growth, just everything, because it just kind of shakes you. You know what I mean? To wake you up and say, whoa, hold on a second, I never thought about it like that, which makes me think about something else I never thought about. You know what I mean? And then you can build on it. So, I love it. I love these, you know, anytime we do this show, the quotes that come across, I just dig that they absolutely open my mind up to a new perspective. And it may be something that I have understood before, but I never heard it put this way.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and the way that it's worded, first of all, it's actually pretty easy to remember, right? Mm-hmm. Because it kind of has a forward and backward kind of flow to it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, but I just dig that it makes me, you know, I don't know. That's why I love this show. That's why I love this show, because it makes me dig deeper and see, like, man, all right, I do appreciate these words. I do appreciate this quote, and it just really makes me look at things different, thinking, how am I comforted or how am I being disturbed? It's pretty dope.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what. So let's look at the other side of this now.
Okay.
And actually, that was the perfect segue, because you were talking about how the word disturb, even though it, you know, normally has a negative connotation, it doesn't necessarily have to mean something negative. It could just mean to disrupt, to and even disrupt has a negative connotation, but it doesn't, have to have a negative connotation. It could be, you could replace that with change.
Okay. You could right.
With expand.
right. I got you.
Growth, you know, things like that. So now, I do think that sometimes you have to make things a little uncomfortable in order to grow and to expand. Because like I said in the beginning, you know, sometimes when you get comfortable, that breeds complacency. You're sitting there being complacent, and now you feel there's no need to grow. What are you gonna say?
All right, now just real quick. So, in reference to that breeding complacency, what is the difference between complacency and contentment? Contentment.
Complacency to me means there is room for growth, but I'm just gonna go ahead and stay here. Contentment means there is the opportunity for growth, but not necessarily the need for it.
The opportunity for growth, and the need for it. Okay, so, all right, so contentment is I'm happy where I am. Complacency is I'm not sad enough to move.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Got you. All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But I think that I think in some cases we want to lean more towards that negative connotation. Mm. Maybe I don't want to say negative, but a disturbing way of putting across your art, because there are some people that go and they involve themselves in things that they really shouldn't involve themselves in. Meaning, humans are very, very egotistical. And if you don't create art in a way that I feel as though you should create it, then I hate it. And I'm going to say whatever it is, say all these negative things about it. Going to try to destroy your art form. It ain't for you. See, the thing is this. Art, let me see, how can I put this?
Hold on a second. The statement that you just made, are you proclaiming or are you personifying? The statement you just made, it got to be this certain way or I don't like it. Were you proclaiming that that's the way you feel or are you personifying arrogance?
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. Personifying arrogance and just the way people view things, the way people view art.
Okay,
see, everybody isn't going to look at it and call it art. For instance, rap music. A lot of people, they look at that. That's not art. That's trash. Well, it is art. Regardless of how you feel about it, it's still art. You know, it just doesn't resonate with you. But what happens is, so let's say, all right, so art resonates with the people who want to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Put it this way. Art speaks the same language as the people who understand it. Art speaks a familiar language to people who want to understand it. And it speaks a foreign language to people who don't want to understand it. The problem comes in when the people who don't want to understand art keep finding themselves in this particular art gallery. And it's like sitting in an art gallery with the lights off. What are you here for? What are you here for? You can't understand or see anything that's going on here. This isn't for you. Leave. What are you here for? So since you want to be here, you want to be disruptive. You feel comfortable in your egotistical views. You feel so comfortable in that you feel as though you can trot yourself on over here into my lane and tell me how things are supposed to be, or that this probably, like, that this doesn't even, that this shouldn't even exist. All the people saying that rap music shouldn't exist, you know? So, no, this shouldn't be rap. What? This is art. You can't tell me that this form of art shouldn't exist, but this isn't for you. You are in an art gallery with the lights out right now. You're not paying attention to the art. Mm-hmm. You are not paying attention to that. You don't belong here. So since that's how you feel, cool. I'm gonna go ahead and be disruptive. I'm gonna make you a little too comfortable in my lane. Let me make this uncomfortable for you.
Ah, okay.
That's one of the ways that I view being disruptive or disturbing the comfort.
That sounds like Kanye.
I think that's what he does too.
Yeah, it sounds like Kanye. I mean, because he doesn't have to be nearly as disruptive or disturbing as he is. And he could still be successful, I feel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he has the gift to do it.
Yeah.
But I also think that he's I don't know. I think part of his success comes from how disruptive he is, though. I don't think.
Well, yeah, I mean, because people, you know, as much as people don't necessarily, they're not going to call forward a rebel unless they already have an adjacent goal, right? But a lot of times when he shows up, you know, like, you know, people enjoy, they're entertained by that. They're, and some are actually informed by it. But like when Tyson bit Holyfield's ear, nobody would have like been like, nobody's chanting bite his ear. But when it happened, it's probably one of the most viewed things on YouTube or whatever. You know what I mean? Because people they buy into it. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think it has a great deal to do with his success, but I'm just saying that I understand what you're saying. I have a point of reference to what you're saying as far as deciding to be disruptive or disturbing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people, man, they're so they just want things to be a certain way, and they feel as though it should be that certain way across the board. Yo, it's 7.5 billion people in the world. Everybody ain't gonna think like you, fool.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
You know, so, I mean, and honestly, I don't want to live in that world where everybody thinks the same, because then there is no reason for words like innovator, creator, surprise, amazing, spectacular. There's no need for any of these words if everybody thinks that.
There's no need for everybody.
Exactly.
If we all gonna have this, there's no need for all of us if we all gonna have the same ideas the same way. You know what I mean? But the thing is, people laugh when you say that, but the reason I say that is because if we're going to think the same way, if you're not here, eventually anything you would have said, I'm going to say anyway, or I'm going to think about anyway, because we think the same way. You know what I'm saying? Right. So one of us isn't necessary. Matter of fact, a lot of y'all ain't necessary. You know what I mean? You know, but I'm curious too, like, is there a sense, like, can it be too disturbing to be art? Like, something that is obscene. It will, and that's why I was asking, like, are these things mutually exclusive, or is, because you were talking about art being looked at for its totality, right? Mm-hmm. But can these two things, can it either disturb or comfort and be considered art? And then, like, is this also to some degree like a justification or almost an excuse? Like, what about pornography is art?
I mean, it depends on the person that's watching it. If we're looking at art as a way of expressing yourself and making people feel something, they're expressing themselves, and you feel something when you see that pornography. So, and it's funny you said that, because I was actually going to bring up stripping and how
as an art form.
Yeah, I believe it's art, though. It is art. See, the thing is, if you look at it as just some naked person up on stage taking their clothes, well, somebody's up on stage and they're taking their clothes off, eventually getting naked and just dancing around, then, all right, you're looking at it on a very surface level. But if you're able to pull back and look at this picture in totality, the gracefulness with which they dance, the strength that it takes to be able to pull yourself up on that pole and to twirl around the pole and to come down and land into a split. Here, take these dollars. You know, I mean, you know, that is art to me and to a lot of other people. That is art. That is gracefulness. There are, it's a matter of fact, I can give you a perfect example. There are women who are not necessarily attracted to or have the desire to be with women, but love going to the strip club to watch women dance, because to them, they see it as art.
Now, I would have to agree that I actually heard a female say that it was empowering to see. And this was, I thought was like crazy to me, because she was, can we can say heterosexual? Shut up. All right, so The thing is,
yo, these clowns got us so scared right now.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, come on, man. I can say heterosexual. You know what I mean? If you offended, that ain't my intent, but shut up. That's what it is, right? So I just got crazy pissed off for a moment there, man. But look, so she's heterosexual. She was a heterosexual female. All right. Uh-huh. Her pronouns were she, her, and yeah. All right. So, but she was saying that she goes to the strip club because it is, and she only goes to black strip club, but it's empowering for her to see a black woman completely command the attention of the room. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I guess I never thought about it at all like that. And definitely it's a degree of interpretation. But it is, you know, when you, and the thing is that it's also a matter of her, she's at her most vulnerable and transparent state in the way that she is literally butt naked. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's all out there. But right. she's simultaneously at her strongest, most commanding position. You know what I mean? For those of them that are doing exactly what you said. You know what I mean? Now, I don't know how much grace goes into, you know, clapping. But I guess there's still a skill.
Because she's still expressing herself anally.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But I think, you know, in that conversation, at least, I could definitely see it as art and how it was comforting, full on comforting to her. And you know, not even so much disturbing. It was just comforting to see a black woman command the room like that. And I'm like, oh, I can't argue with you with that. Because I'm not, it's not something, hey, I got no need for that. You know what I mean? It's not something that I can get into. But again, it's one of the things where, okay. Like if this is the definition of art, then I can see how that does that. You know what I mean?
Right. And for all of the people who are trying to get the strip clubs closed down, those are the people I'm talking about when I say you're in an art gallery with the lights off. Mm-hmm. What are you here for? Nobody asked you to come here to speak on what we got going on over here. Go, there is plenty of art out here for you. Leave us alone.
But now I will say this though, because it being called art is kind of a convenient defense or justification. You know what I mean? So it's like having the, how can I say? Like graffiti. Graffiti is art. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Graffiti itself is art.
Right.
Defacing a government building is not art. But graffiti is, if you are an individual that defaces a government building, you're not considered an artist. But graffiti is art.
Yeah, but that right there, that goes back to what I was saying before about picking out one part of the art and just looking, focusing on that. If you only focus on the part of them defacing the government building, then that's what it is. They deface that government building. If you pull back and you look at this picture in totality, then you see the art, you know. And so it could have been, put it this way, there could have been a, and this is where you make people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
This is where you disturb the comfortable, because right now they're comfortable in being in their government building. But what about all of the let's say they're just a bunch of just horrible things that are happening behind the doors of this government building, and it's affecting the masses. And then you have this person, you have this graffiti artist that wants to let everybody know this is what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
So they get that spray can and they just spray paint on this government building. This place is filled with child molesters.
Mm-hmm.
Now art is being disruptive. Art is making things a little bit uncomfortable. You drive down the road and you see that art, what this artist has done. And yes, he did deface this government building. But let's pull back and let's look at this whole thing in totality. What is the artist telling us?
Okay, but now given this, because considering what you just said, you do still have to include the crime.
Yeah, but hey, right. But so, I said in totality. So yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying, because you said in totality, but then you only focus on the art. And so I'm saying that we do have to still include the crime. And so in reference to the strip joints, there is a, let me say, in the minds of many, while there are those that appreciate it, in the minds of many others, there is an immoral element to stripping, to you.
Right.
You know, and so, but that is not illegal. So that morality is conveniently slid to the side when you introduce the art of the activity. You know what I mean? And so that's why I say sometimes I think it's a convenient kind of justification, because you can it be, and also because it is left to interpretation, which is again why I prefer a black and white world, because when it's left up to interpretation, then it's, oh, well, what were they thinking when they did this? What were they feeling? And I'm like, what were they thinking when they did wrong? What were they feeling when they did wrong? You know what I'm saying?
Right. But it's that kind of goes back to the what was the quote that we did? There's no wrong way to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And if you are
constantly, it might have been there's no right way to do the wrong thing, I think. Not there's no wrong way to do the right thing.
Okay.
I think it was, yeah, there's no right way to do the wrong thing. That's what it was.
Okay. So if there is this government building and it's full of child molesters, and you have somebody that keeps trying to speak about it and keeps getting silenced, and he decides to go grab this spray can and spray it on the side of the building so that people can get the message. How wrong is it? Sometimes I feel like it's not necessarily wrong. It may be an extreme situation. You may have to go to the extreme to do things, but I think that in certain instances, you would justify in certain behavior, which is why the term judgment call comes into play.
Well, so what this makes me think of is people say, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I understand that. But you don't need to do, you don't want to hinder yourself in the progress situation. So when you break those eggs, you don't drop them in the omelet. You don't drop the shells in the omelet. You can still make the omelet, but you don't drop the shells in the omelet. Then you make it, because then you make a, it's a bad decision. So in this situation here, let's just say, giving your example, which by the way is horribly extreme, about a big government building full of child molesters, right? Oh my God.
So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if it was horribly accurate too. But
well, I mean, to some degree, maybe not full of, but I guarantee you, just because they are as rampant as they are, there's a couple Uncle Touchies, I guarantee you, right? So, but I'm just saying, if your goal is to expose these cats, mm-hmm. and you put yourself in a position where you are no longer available to do the work, mm-hmm. then I feel like that's counterproductive. You know what I mean? I feel like it's mm-hmm. counterproductive, and you know, so the art or whatever, you know, I feel like, again, it's just kind of a convenient excuse, you know, to call it art. In order to justify, you know, another action. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think it's being called art to justify anything. I think it's being called art because that's what it is.
Okay. I have to, you know, I have to concede as far as that's concerned, because, again, everything being left up to interpretation is so irritating. But, you know, that's how I go. People are entitled to their opinion. However... Well, you know. Hello, Ron, maybe. You know, that's just how it go. But I just, you know, just again, just with this definition of, I think it's refreshing to have a definition of art, and it definitely opens your eyes up to identify, well, for me to open it, to identify more things as art than what I would have previously. You know what I mean? Because I wouldn't give it the respect. But I agree with this here. I enjoy the disturb and the comfort, you know, aspects of it. So I have to, you know, I'll just concede on this.
Now, I think that there's another way to look at it, disturbing the comfortable. Mm. And this is the part where it doesn't have a negative connotation. Let's say that you have some artists in whatever genre of music, film, painting, mm-hmm. whatever it is, that are exceptional at what they do. They're great, but they have reached a level of complacency.
Okay.
And they're just kind of sitting around, just doing nothing with this incredible gift that they have. And somebody comes along and creates something amazing. To that artist, with a lot of artists, we get inspired by another artist's greatness.
Okay.
So we see you accomplish something. So now I'm getting a little uncomfortable with where I am because you just raised the bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Is raise the bar. So I now have to step my game up. I have to do, because of the place that I am now is very, very uncomfortable. So that I guess in that instance, we could replace the word disturb with inspire.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to say so. And I appreciate that, you know, specifically like in my house, you know, my wife, she just got a new gig. Is she creeping up on my salary? And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Now, I'm not saying that my wife can't make more money than me. All right. Mm-hmm. But what I am saying is that I'm disturbed. But I'm like, wait a second. Yeah, yeah. Wait a second. Because so we, you know, it's a mutual challenge. You know what I mean? Right. So I might get a little comfortable until she started, like, what she did, the jump she just made, she creeped right up on me. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. I need to put some distance between. But it just says to me that I'm not doing everything I can be doing. Because, and this is how crazy it is. I'm sitting and I'm chilling, doing what I gotta do, but then, like, I got my head down earning my money. Then when she creeps up and now she's, you know, running up on earning the same thing, that's when I'm looking and see, hold on, I could be up there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, but a lot of times it takes that. When truth be told, you should always be looking, you know, to see how much further you can go with it. It's weird because I'm content until she shows up and then now I feel complacent. You know what I mean? And then I'm like, all right, I gotta move. But yeah, I like to say disturbed versus inspired or or changed. Or I think disturbed is more of a motivator because
a call for action. It is.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I dig that, and that's why I was saying earlier, like the way that it's worded makes it a bit more impactful. You know, I mean, it resonates greater for him to say, you know, disturbs. You know, that's, yeah, I think I definitely like it better like that. I'm going to have to figure out how to use that. I'm going to use the word disturb no less than 5 times today once we get off.
You know what? Going back to the example that you used of your wife creeping up on your salary. Mm. That's something else that goes back to an interpretation thing and the way you interpret art. So, you know, two different people can look at the same thing and see two completely different things.
Right.
Your interpretation, and which is why I don't do the gray area and I'm not with the whole black and white thing. See, for you, it is, I know you. So when you say my wife is creeping up on my salary, I know for you, it ain't a competition thing. I know it ain't, oh, I'm, you know, I ain't about to let her make more money than me. I'm the man. I'm supposed to make more money. And I got to keep her beneath me. I know.
No.
But other people are going to look at it like that. because that's their interpretation. That's what it is for them. But I know you, and I know better. That I know that that ain't what it is.
Yeah. Again,
that's somebody looking at your art right now.
Your
art meaning your marriage, and seeing one person seeing it one way and another person seeing something else. The other thing that I have realized about art, which is why it has to be a gray area and not a black and white thing, is we receive things based off of the way we have lived, based off of our experiences.
Okay.
So for instance, my Achilles, I ruptured my Achilles. If I was to walk up behind you and pluck you in the back of your Achilles, you're going to turn around. What are you doing, fool? For me, if somebody plucks me in the back of my Achilles, I immediately will lift my leg. And this has happened. Somebody playing around. Probably, I think my son did it. Hit me in the back of my Achilles. I picked my foot up and was just stuck for a second. Like trying to figure out, okay, I can't put my foot back down. I just, you know, based off of my experience, I had a completely different reaction based off of what I went through.
Right.
So art will resonate with the person differently, you know, depending on how they have lived their life and how things have happened to them.
Right. That I agree.
The World album means the world to me.
Right.
To somebody else, it's like, what is this? It's garbage. It's not art. It's trash, whatever. But to me, it is one of the greatest things ever.
Well, I think this is a super dope definition of it, because I think that it is all encompassing as far as the definition, because I struggle to think how I would have defined art prior to this right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I struggle to figure out how I would have actually defined it, because it is just, it's a small word, but it's a huge, huge area, huge space.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I dig it. I think you did well on this one, sir.
I think I did an amazing job, but that's just my interpretation.
I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with
that. That will not disturb how you feel.
Well, I'm looking at the time, and I'm thinking that at this point, we definitely need to close out this quote and introduce the next, right?
By the way, I apologize to everybody who saw last week's show, and I forgot to put this quote out there and let us know that this was the upcoming quote. Hopefully it doesn't happen again, but if it does, I'm sorry ahead of time.
You know, it'll happen again. We're all learning. Yeah, I mean, that's all. So, as a matter of fact, thinking about you not having done it last week is the only thing that reminded me to do it this week. But, you know, this one, this week, and this is just in reference to the quote from next week, as I was thinking about what that quote would be, I think a lot about, for, you know, we following last week's show, as far as your most, your strongest thought, my strongest thought has been peace and security for my family, and how I'm actually going to achieve that. And so it is a homegrown quote. However, I think it applies universally, but the quote is that success is not the company you own, but rather the company you keep. Hmm. And so that's what I'm looking forward to unpacking on next week, because it definitely made me think about what I need to do for mine, but even more about who I'm doing it for. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that's what I'm looking forward to next week. So write it down. You know, I'll send it to you anyway. See if we can come up with some additional notes about it and bust it apart next week.
Yeah. I like that, though. I'm looking forward to that quote.
All right. Okay. Uh-oh, looks like... Hey, and this is what happens when you forget to lock the door, all right?
Speaking of disruptive.
Right? Here go one of my best pieces of art right here. One of my best pieces of art.
Hey, man.
Hey, buddy. Okay, let's go ahead and sign off.
Oh no, we ain't signed off right now. This is perfect. Hey, man.
Okay. Thank you.
Let
that happen.
That's right. Bring your mama in too. Bring your mama in. Hey, Mika.
She can't hear you because you're only in the headphones.
Oh, okay.
All right. Go ahead, yo, but in a minute. All right, buddy.
Yo, I cannot think of a better way for the show to end than with a disruption.
Right.
Was perfect, yo.
Wow. All right, man. We thank y'all for tuning in. Thank y'all for listening. Thank y'all for watching. It is Quotes and Mirrors. I am a commentary.
And I'm Terrell James. And on that note, and I quote, peace out.
Peace.